Well, once again, we are talking on the subject of forgiveness. And I'm not sure, Mrs. Mishner, don't feel bad about that. I even called Mrs. Wilson Mrs. Maitland a few times, so don't feel bad about that. Did you have forgiveness in your class last week? What was the subject, or who was the person that was forgiven in your class last week? Okay, go ahead. Carter? The man who... was that a Bible story? Which one, Isaiah? Oh, the prodigal son. Okay, so we knew what they talked about last week. Give him a sucker, okay? Mrs. Kelly, who was forgiven in your class last week? Mrs. Zachary? They don't remember. Whose class is this over here? Pardon? Mrs. Copeland, okay. So who was forgiven in your lesson last week? Oh, my, okay. The adult. Who was forgiven in the lesson I taught last week? Thank you, Tom.
Woman with anointed
Lord's feet. Right, okay. Very good, okay. So I trust that you're paying attention because the fact we're talking on forgiveness. Now, tonight, I'm going to start on some blacklight messages, and the messages are going to be on the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham is called in the Word of God the father of faith, the father of all them that believe. And so you see, when you're forgiven, it's through faith. In our story last week that we had with the adults in Luke chapter 7, it wasn't her love that forgave her. It was her faith. Because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, she was forgiven. Now, not only is Abraham called the father of faith, but Abraham is also called a friend of God. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, we read, and the scripture says this about him: he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So we find that not only that, we find that Abraham received great promises that what was going to happen, that his people, his descendants, were going to get the land all the way from the Great Sea all the way to the Euphrates River. Now, they've never gotten that as of yet. Oh, but there has not failed one word of all of his good promises, as it says in 1 Kings 8:56. Not one word that God has promised will ever fail. And so the children of Israel are going to get the land. But the reason they don't have it is because they rejected his forgiveness. They rejected him as the Savior. Now, what I got here is a bag that I have labeled. On this side, I had my wife sew this on, the word Bible. And what I like about the Bible, that it talks about how your sins can be forgiven. Not only that, the Bible is an exciting book because the Bible tells you what's going to happen in the future before it ever even happens. Now, when you, I made it red. Because, you see, the Bible should be read, okay? And we should read it day by day. Well, as you open up your Bible, and I'm going to open up this bag, you see, some people look in their Bible, and they say, I don't see anything in the Bible. I never get anything out of the the Bible. Oh, listen. The more you read the Bible, the more you'll find what God has to say. And in the Bible, there is a red line, like this red rope, that goes from one end, from the book of Genesis, all the way to Revelation, that talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that you can have your sins forgiven. It's only because of the blood of Christ that we can have our sins forgiven. So that's the great news that we have about the Bible. From one end to the other, it talks about the blood. Now, one of you kids, and then Mr. Wolfley will give out some of those suckers. Somebody tell me the two major divisions in the Bible. What are they? All right, you kids. What are the two major divisions of the Bible? Oh, all right, right here. Yes, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So you see, when you read the Bible, you're going to find out that it's in two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, the word old, who's going to tell me, one of you kids right up in the front row, how many letters are in the word old? Okay, right here, Zach. Three. Okay. Now, somebody real quickly tell me how many letters are in the word Testament. Do you know? I mean Testament, rather. I'm sorry.
How many words?
How many letters in the word Testament? Six. Well, there is at least six. Thank you, Mr. Layman. All right, Mr. Layman, how many are there?
Nine.
Give Mr. Layman a sucker. Good, okay. Now, if you take the three for old and the nine for Testament, that tells you how many books are in the Old Testament. Now, when you come to the New Testament, in the word new, there is also three letters, and in the word Testament, there's nine letters and three times 9 is 27. So you know that you got 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. Now, which one of you kids are going to tell me the first four books of the New Testament? Okay, right here. Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who can tell me what those four books are called all together? All right, he have an answer for us. Go ahead. What are they known as? What are those four books known as? Okay, Jack? What? Gospels, that's right. So the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are known as the Gospels. And there we read the following things. These books tell us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. These books tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ was not only born, but it tells us that the Lord Jesus walked on the face of this earth. These books, as you read those Gospels, you will find that they talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus died so that you can be forgiven of your sins. Now, this is the problem. The last one. These four books talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. But you see, Abraham's descendants, which are known as the Israelites or the Jewish people, they don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that Jesus arose. But you see, we need to put all four of them together. That's most important because, you see, you need to believe all in order to be given. Why, you know, you see, we all know the fact that the Lord Jesus was born. We just celebrated. We just celebrated Christmas not too long ago that speaks about his birth. Well, we talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus was born, and you know that he walked on the face of this earth, that he died, and that he was buried, but we also know that he rose again. Now, you got to put all of them together. And so you see, that's most important, fellows and girls and men and women. In order for your sins to be forgiven, we want to believe that the Lord Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, you and I can be alive as well. So in order for your sins to be forgiven, we need to know all four and put them together. Yes, Jesus lives. What a great thing that he is alive. And that's why the Bible is so exciting, because you see, it tells that you can be forgiven. But the Bible also talks about the future. And so we're going to talk about the life of Abraham, who is called the, thank you, Mrs. Kelly, friend of God. Where is that found? Where is that found? One of you adults. Thank you, Mrs. Carson. In Isaiah 41:8. Now it may, Mrs. Carson, but that's not the one that I told you. You could be right, okay? But James? James 2:23. He is also known as what? Oh, raise your hand. Come on. Bethel? The friend of God. Where is that found? What did you say? A friend of God. Yes, he's called the friend of God, but he's... Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry, Bethel. I'm not with it. He's also called the what? Father of faith. Thank you for redeeming yourself, Bethel. Okay, good. All right, and that's found where? In Romans chapter 4. All right. We're going to sing, as the young people pass to their classes, one verse of 175. One verse of 175, there is a fountain. Keep those, Frank. I'll ask another question for the adults.
A fountain filled with blood, run from Emmanuel's name, and sinners plunge beneath that blood.
Thank you kindly, and we'll open our Bibles back up to Luke chapter 7. Once again, I'll read this portion, just in case there was someone here that's not been here last week. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to begin this time at verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, the Lord Jesus, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Pardon me. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God, and I pray again that each one in this room can take it in, that they can know, not think or hope, but know they are forgiven of their sins. Lord, we thank you for this lesson, and we ask thy blessing upon the word of God as we continue on, for we ask it in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, last week we spoke about this woman, and as I mentioned to you, that we find that the Lord said to Simon, and it's most interesting that the whole lesson is spoken to Simon. It's not spoken to the woman. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Do you see this woman? Seest thou this woman? And I said, if the Lord draws attention to the woman, then that woman is worthwhile to look at. Now, I mentioned 5 things about the woman and that we should take note of. To see how well we did from last week's lesson, give me one of the W's that the woman did that we have when we look at her. Give me one of those W's. Thank you, Diana. She wept, and she used her heart, because her heart was full of love as she wept, and she was deeply moved. Give me another one. Thank you, Linda. She washed. Her eyes were used. Take a look at her eyes. She washed his feet with her tears. Another. Thank you, Becky. She wiped. Not only did she weep, she washed, she wiped, and she used the glory of her head, which is her hair, to wipe his feet. Yes, she used her glory and laid it at his feet. All right, the other one? Another one? The next one? Frank, you can answer too, you know. Okay, thank you. Well, that's the last one. She worshiped by giving the ointment, and that she did by presenting her hands. But there's one other thing that she did, that I gave you a W. She did one other thing. Thank you, dear. She warmed his feet with kisses. And so we find that that's what this woman did. Now notice in the story that I read to you that the Lord Jesus speaks to Simon and said, Simon, I entered into thine house. I entered on your invitation. You desired me to come. You invited me. You actually begged me to come. And when I came, Simon, you did not even give me the ordinary, customary courtesy. You didn't give that to me. And so look at the difference. You had no water. What else did he not have? We read it now. No water. No what, Clint? No. Thank you, Linda. No oil. And no what, Jim? Pardon? And no kiss. None of those things did you offer. Now, it was the ordinary customary thing to do that when someone would come, you would wash their feet because their feet would be dirty from the traveling that they had done. But he, being a Pharisee, no doubt, had a slave or two, and he didn't even ask them to wash the Lord's feet when he came into the house. Now, that was a normal thing to do. And if they would have done that, if he would have done that, the slave would have gone outside to the well and got the water and washed the feet. But, of course, you see, if they did that, that would have been cold and the formal thing to do. But, you see, we have today, we have a well, too, that we can draw from. And the well is the Word of God. Thank you. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. So you see, what we need to do is we also need to draw from the well, from the Word of God. Now, this woman, what she did, she washed his feet, as it were, but it wasn't cold. It was from the warmth, as we talked about, as she kissed his feet. Now, I might say this, that our worship, many times, can be correct scripturally, but often our worship could be cold and formal. Oh, for the tears within us. If we would really take it in, how much he loves us, that should move us. And so we find that this woman was moved as she thought about the great love, because the fact that her sins were forgiven. And so we find, yes, she washed his feet. Now, no kiss. That would have been the ordinary thing for them to do in the East. And as I suppose most of you are aware of the fact that they would kiss them on the cheek, they still do that today in the Middle East. It's the way of greeting. But there was no greeting at all. You might think, too, about Judas. He gave a kiss to the Lord. But, oh, listen, how sad that was. Because, you see, he gave a normal greeting, but he was about to just hand him over to those who wanted to kill him. But here, the woman, she kissed the feet. She humbly kissed his feet. Now, the next thing was no oil for my head. And so, you see, the Lord is making this comparison because that's what he did to begin with. He began to compare her with himself. And the Lord said, this woman anointed my feet with ointment, oil. You didn't even put oil on me, on my head. Now, oil was, in that time, I don't know what the comparison would be today, but oil at that time was the cheapest thing that you could get there in the Middle East. That was the cheap thing. The ointment would be the most expensive thing. But you see, he didn't think of the head of the Lord even worthy of all of his glory, of speaking of his supremacy, that it was worthy of the least. No. But what did she do? She put on his head the most expensive. Now, Simon, he didn't think much of it, but she thought everything of Christ, and she anointed his feet. Now, then we find it says, wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, he said this to Simon. He didn't say it to the woman. And her sins were not forgiven because she loved much, but as the last verse says, it was her faith who had saved her. And I like that verse, too, where it says that we love him because he first loved us. And that's why the woman showed her love, is because of the love that he had showed to her. Now, Simon is directed to the love of the woman. Now, faith receives a blessing. It always receives a blessing. It receives God's blessing. And our response to his love proves that we have been blessed. Now, the other thing I want you to notice is that the woman anointed his feet, and when she did that, she wiped it with her hair, and when she poured out all at his feet, she kept it too. There was no way that that woman could get up from the feet of the Lord Jesus and walk away and not have the fragrance that the Lord Jesus had of the ointment. And you know that's the way it is, my friends, when we give. When we give, we take it away with us. That's how good it is. The Lord is so good because we find that she carried the same fragrance as the Lord did. And the other thing I want us to notice before we move on to the next subject on forgiveness is that the woman was totally silent during the whole thing, but she worshiped the Lord. Now, I think that's a real verse of encouragement to you sisters. We come Sunday after Sunday to the Lord's Supper, and audibly, you don't say anything. But inwardly, the sisters worship. And many people have said it's what the sisters do that really express how the meeting really feels. And so here we see that the woman worshiped without saying a word. But all down through history, this very act that she did has gone down in history. Now, the phrase, thy sins are forgiven thee, are found just twice in the book of Luke. The first time it's found in Luke chapter 5, and it said to the man who was lame, the Lord said, your sins are forgiven. And what did the man do to show or prove that his sins were forgiven? You know the story in Luke chapter 5, the lame man. What did he do? He walked. The fact that his sins were forgiven, he walked. Now, here is the case. The second time the Lord Jesus says the words, thy sins are forgiven, and the proof that her sins were forgiven is she, I hope you didn't lose it, come on, she loved, right? In the man's case, The proof was seen in his life, for he walked. In the woman's case, why, the proof was seen in her love because she gave. And so may it be with us. If we really know that our sins are forgiven, oh, that we might show it in our walk and also show it as we give our love to the Lord. Now, I would like to continue with the thought of forgiveness. I can see I'm not going to get very far, but we're going to go over to the Gospel of John and chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, there could be here this morning, I don't know, but there could be someone in this audience who is troubled because your sins are not forgiven. My friends, if you've never come to confess your sins, oh, you see, that was the problem with the Pharisee. He knew all about forgiveness. He even spoke about it, but he didn't have that forgiveness because, you see, he was comparing himself with the woman. Well, he wasn't that bad of a sinner. And, you know, every day as I give out tracts, many times I find out people really don't see themselves as a sinner. And until you can see yourself as a sinner, my friends, you are not going to be forgiven. You've got to confess your sins. And when we confess them, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so there could be somebody here this morning and you're really troubled. You're not sure. You're not sure if you're forgiven. And somebody might say, well, what about the Lord? He was troubled also. Oh, he was. That's true. And so I want to just mentioned in John chapter 11, and read verse 5, where it says this, John chapter 11, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which was Mary, and Lazarus. Now the Lord Jesus loved them, and I want to say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. But you see, you know the story here. It's well known that Lazarus died. And they were very sad. Now, why has death come? Well, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin enters into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And because of the fact we have in this world death, it's because of sin. Yes, it's all because of that. So let's read from verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, because he heard the announcement that Lazarus had died, and so he came to the village of Bethany, was just outside, and they told the girls that he had arrived. It says, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Now the Lord Jesus wept because he loved them, my friends. And it was because of their sin that he was troubled in the spirit. He groaned because of the fact of what sin had brought. It brings death. And the Lord was troubled about that. And he wept with them to show his love as well, that he was concerned. Yes, we find in John chapter 11 that the Lord Jesus was trouble. Let's go to John chapter 12, okay? And I want to read from there and from verse 24. Now, I haven't got time to read this all, but we'll start with verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, in John chapter 11, we find that the Lord was troubled. John chapter 12, we find that the Lord is troubled. Why? Well, you see, my friends, he's going to go to the cross. He knows that. He's in the garden. He's telling that his death is going to come so that you and I can be forgiven. What a tremendous thing. Now let's turn to John chapter 13. John 13, and I want to start with verse 18. I speak not of you all. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me and hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, I want to go back to verse 2 before we read on of John chapter 13. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. You see, here at the Passover time, Simon was going to betray him. I thought that verse again that was given to us on Thursday night as Carl spoke in Acts chapter 1. I just want to flip over there for a minute. Acts chapter 1, as we read verse 16, where Peter said, Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Jesus, which was a guide. That's the part that struck me. He didn't speak on that particularly, but that part struck me. Which was a guide to them that took Jesus. You see, it is true that the devil entered into him. But because of his love for money, he went there and he was a guide to them. Now let's go back to John chapter 13 again and notice what it says. In verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and Simon therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, and then Jesus
Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do thou quickly. Now nobody at the table knew why the Lord was speaking to him thus. But oh, listen, the Lord was troubled. Troubled in John chapter 11. Oh, how he loved him. Troubled in John chapter 12 because oh, how much he loved us. And again, here he's troubled because here is a man by the name of Judas who walked with the Lord Jesus, who talked with the Lord Jesus, who saw all the tremendous miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, but never came to know him in a personal way. And I want to say something, my friends. The Lord is greatly troubled. If you hear about him, some of you have heard about the Lord Jesus week after week. You've heard about it over and over, and yet you don't live it. You don't show it in your walk. You don't show it in your love. And the Lord is troubled. The Lord is troubled if you've never asked for forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. Oh, how much he loves you. Now that is John chapter 13. But we come down to John chapter 14. Now look at, he's just about ready to go to the cross. He knew that his hour was come. How does he start John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, how precious that is. He's saying in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, how can we know? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, we find in John's gospel how the Lord was troubled. But what he's saying to you, my friends, don't be troubled. There's nothing for you to be troubled about if you believe in me. For notice verse 27 of that chapter, and it says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, I trust that everyone in this room truly knows what it means to be forgiven. Well, friends, if you're not forgiven, you're lost and you're bound for hell, which is a real place. And I trust if you're not sure about that, that you'll stay behind and make sure, because you see, the Lord wants to give you a peace like the world knows nothing about. We'll just close in a word of prayer.